take your intercession hat off just yet. We're going to pray here as we get into the Word this morning. Pray for our young people, children, grandchildren, parents, and grandparents as we get into the message this morning. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for a biblically correct Jesus. Not a politically correct Jesus, but a biblically correct Jesus. We want to know you, Lord, and not the opinion of any man. We want God's opinion of himself. God's revelation of himself is Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for the Word and the power of it by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. And by the way, I don't have an iPad, oddly enough. So if we can throw that up on the screen, our declarations this morning. There we go. Hey, let's take our Bibles, or if it's on your device, your Bible app, let's hold these up and say it together. This is my Bible. We are who God says we are. We can do what He says we can do. Therefore, we forgive those who wrong us. We bless those who curse us. We love those who hate us. And we pray for those in need. Amen. Going to continue our brand new series this morning, Politically Incorrect Jesus. And as I said last week, this is not a political series. I'm not a huge fan of politics. I've kind of grown up, you know, as time went by, not thinking I could trust any of them. It seemed like they're all kind of used car salesmen and just tell us whatever they want us to believe. But it's not a political series because the real hope, thank you, brother, the real hope for America, the real hope for America and the real hope for our young people doesn't come through presidents or politics or the House or the Senate. It comes from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope for our country. That is the hope for our country. And you can bellyache and moan and murmur and complain all day long that you're not seeing what you want to see. But my advice to you is every prayer you pray, include this. Father, would you use me? Use me to bring about what's burning on your heart for the country. Anybody can stay in church and pray all day. Man, God, I hope you fix America. It's looking bleak. No, let's pray, Father, use me. Don't pray any prayer you're not willing to put your own life and resource behind. Amen. And Jesus is our model for that. Did you notice on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Then he became the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus never prayed a prayer. He was not willing to help execute and partner with his Father to do it. Remember this, that any hope for this world, any answer for this world cannot come, will not come from this world. It'll come from the one who made it. The answers that we're looking for will come from the Spirit of the living God. They won't be man-made answers. So if you think it's all politics and politicians and this and that, then I'm going to beg to differ with you that the real answer is going to come from the kingdom of God. It's going to come from the realm of the Spirit operating through. Now, I'm all for, I thank God we got a vote, amen, and we got valuables and we can contribute and we have a voice. So I'm not saying, you know, just give up on politics. You vote for who the Lord tells you to vote for. But I'm asking you to do one thing for me. Don't walk into the booth as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or what's the other one? Libertarian. Don't walk in there as one of those. You're not identified with one of them. You're a child of God. Walk in there as a child of God who's listening to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, we just read prophetically through the worship there. Walk into that booth and vote according to the Spirit of God and His kingdom values. Amen. All that's free of charge. I didn't have that in my notes. Our hearts are being stirred in this series for our young people. Boy, it's good to see. We had a wonderful time at See at the Pole Wednesday night. My goodness. Let me tell you what was great about it is the young people leading out in prayer. The young people sharing their hearts for what they want to see happen. Man, amen. Young people today get a bad rap because they don't just take whatever you tell them at face value. You know, my generation, Christy Gamm, as we were talking about this with our Students of Grace leadership a couple of weeks ago, but she said, you know, my generation, and I'm in Christy's generation, I'm 49 years old. I think she's way younger than me, but we talk about the 80s. But she said, when we were growing up, whatever parents told us, we believed it. As far as God was concerned and all that. And I think what happened some with our generation is we knew about God, we just didn't know Him. Now that's not good. That's not effective. You may know about Him, but what you'll end up with is a form of godliness, but there's no power. There's no personal relationship. And the good thing that's happening with our young people is, yes, they challenge truth, they challenge things, but let me tell you, we've got a promise. Jesus said, if you seek Me, you will find Me. As young people seek the truth, if they genuinely seek the truth, they're going to find Him. And they'll find Him personally, not their mama's faith, not their grandfather's relationship with Jesus. They'll have their very own revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we want to happen, and that's a good thing. But our hearts are stirred for young people. We were praying this even last week. I want to just declare some things this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name for our children, our grandchildren. And we declare in Jesus' name that salvation, healing, and deliverance shall come to all of our children and all of our grandchildren. Our children shall lead and not follow. Peer pressure shall move far away from them and shall shift towards Christ and His righteousness. We declare that the statistics of this world will not overtake our children or our grandchildren, and we raise the banner of truth over them. They will not let what others do or say decide who they are. Hallelujah. We declare they will not let what others do or say decide who they are. Your truth, Father, shall be their source of information and identity. Authority, boldness, and confidence shall be their brand new ABCs that they're learning in school and shall fill them. And Lord, we declare they'll find their life and happiness in You and no other. Restore their innocence, Lord. Restore their joy. Restore their humility, Lord. Activate them in the prophetic that they may declare Your word and reality to their generation. Their lips shall feed many with truth and insight. Hallelujah. They'll be cultural architects that shape this American culture by the power of the Holy Spirit. We lift up every parent and grandparent to You as well, and we just declare, Lord, they know the reality of greater is He that's within them than he that's within the world. They know that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every parent shall stand in the quiet confidence and assurance of Christ Himself. We thank You, Father, that our children will get their identity from You and not any form of brokenness. We declare it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Go ahead and give God praise for those declarations. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This is the Good News Translation. I wish that you would bear with me even when I'm a bit foolish. I'm jealous for you, just as God is, and you're like a pure virgin whom I've promised in marriage to one man, Christ Himself. I am afraid that your minds will be corrupted and that you'll abandon your full and pure devotion to Christ in the same way Eve was deceived by the snake's clever lies. For you gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you and preaches a different Jesus, not the one we preached. And you accept a spirit and a gospel completely different from the spirit and the gospel you received from us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, NIV. I do not write to you because you don't know the truth. I write to you because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Anyone who denies, now this is not Steve, this is John, the beloved love filled John, says that anyone who denies Jesus is the Christ is a liar. That's not very politically correct, is it? Who's the liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, that He's God come in the flesh. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Why does he say that? Because if you deny the Son whom the Father sent and in whom the Father dwells, if you reject the Son, you reject the Father that sent Him. If you reject Christ, you reject God. Does that make sense to you? No one who denies the Son has the Father. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. My goodness. You know, everything that, as I've gotten further into this series and study, it all comes down to who do we say Jesus is? Is He God in the flesh? Is He deity? Because every major religion on the planet denies the deity of Jesus Christ. And what's unfortunate, through political correctness, and if I get to it, I'll show you again, we'll kind of recap where that came from. But in the name of political correctness, they don't want one God over America. What they're trying to create and carve out is a polytheistic culture, meaning all gods are the same. And they would tell you very pleasantly, all gods are welcome here. Remember the Pledge of Allegiance? One nation. Has that been challenged? Yes, it has. Why? Because they don't want the one true God. They want to be able to say all the gods are the same, which means all the gods are garbage. And God is whoever we tell you that He is. That's where this is going. One nation under God. And I'm sorry, but this nation was founded upon the God, the one true God, who came in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. That's who they came here to worship. That's who they came here to worship. And we're living in a day where people are espousing and promoting a Jesus that is not the real, authentic Jesus. You know, the enemy, in trying to deceive, doesn't show up with a pitchfork and a red suit and say, follow me. He's going to weave in truth, especially man's wisdom. He's going to weave that in there in order to deceive. He's not dumb. He'll put little nuggets of truth in there in order to deceive. And I'm telling you, what's being propagated in the country right now is that Jesus is just another religious figure. And you know, if I'm president or I'm a politician, and I've got all these, you know, people to oversee, then yes, it's very political to say, listen, let's all get along and all the gods are the same. All religions are the same, but they're not the same. Jesus Christ is not a religious figure. He is God come in the flesh. And anyone that denies that reality is a liar. And that's not Steve Eden's opinion. So don't get mad at me. I'm simply an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ, here present with the constitution of His government, telling you what it says. Somebody ought to clap your hands and give God praise. Amen. This is a politically correct Jesus, not a biblically correct Jesus. Because they say, you know, Jesus would, He would water down the truth because He doesn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. That somehow this Jesus is a proponent of the idea that everybody's already saved. As I ranted on last week, why would He suffer the way He did if everybody's just saved? That He's somehow a proponent too, that there's many ways to God. Then He was crazy to do what He did. Not to mention the disciples, crucified upside down, boiled alive. John the Revelator, boiled alive for His faith. Peter and John in the book of Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 5, publicly humiliated and flogged. They kept telling them, stop preaching Jesus is the Christ. Stop doing that. So they publicly beat them and humiliated them. And the Bible says they went away rejoicing, having been counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus Christ. People who don't believe He's God don't do that. And what we've done is said, oh, in the face of any persecution, yeah, you're right. Jesus, he's just another guy. We'll just water it all down. And there's many ways to God. You know, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. And in the book of Genesis, I can't find anywhere when, and how many of you know, sometimes you need to go back to get truth. You go back to original information. And in the garden, when God made us, He never told Adam, I'm going to start a religion. How about this? He never said, Adam, let's start a bunch of religions. And they'll all lead the same place. right here to me in the garden. He never said that. Let me tell you what's on the docket, because you can't walk away from this series and say, boy, that was good preaching, little preacher. Boy, I tell you, that was a good sermon as I enjoy my cheeseburger for lunch. What a great message today. Wasn't that something? No, you can't leave here with that. You got to leave here making a decision on whether Jesus Christ is God of your life. And not just God of your life, but is he God of the universe? And if Jesus is Lord, if he is who he says he is, then he can't just be resident in your life. He has to be president of your life. My goodness. What does that mean? That means what he says goes. Your opinion doesn't matter. That's what the true you was, remember? The true you is all about humility. Is not that you never say anything good about yourself. Humility is my opinion doesn't matter. God knows me better than I know me. So I'm going to agree with him. You know, the number one hit in the pit will be, I did it my way. I believed what I wanted to believe. Doesn't matter what Jesus said. Didn't matter what I read in his constitution. I did it my way and I believed what I wanted to believe. Nobody told me anything. Number one hit in the pit. That's a good one. Don't let that move you off. That if Jesus Christ is who he says he is, he can't just be resident in your life. He's got to be president. And what he says has got to be the end all be all. It's true that there's no one more loving or more inclusive than Jesus Christ. Did you hear me say that? No one's more loving or all-inclusive than Jesus. Listen to this. He died for every human being in history. White, black, red, green, male, female, Jew, Greek. He died for every human being in the history of mankind. Don't tell me he's not inclusive. He is. But His offer becomes in vain if we choose not to accept who he says he is. So through this series, I want you to see the biblically correct Jesus, not politically correct Jesus. And I'm asking you to believe not who I say he is, but who he says he is. I'm going to show you right out of his own mouth. I cannot believe for you. I cannot have faith for you. Every young person, as I said earlier, needs to have their own personal relationship with Jesus and their own revelation. Can I get a witness that Jesus Christ as God is by the Spirit? It's only revelation. You can get mad at the culture all you want, but it comes by Spirit revelation. That's why when he asked in Matthew 16, he asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus do? He blessed him. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father in heaven showed it to you. So don't get all mad. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't walk away mad. Walk away with your heart broken. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the one who's in you, the one who made them for himself. Jesus blessed Peter. If he were just a prophet, if he were just a good teacher, which is what all the religions of the world say he is. Remember, they deny his deity, but they say good things about him. Remember, you got to have a measure of truth in there in order to deceive. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus blessed him in that. If he were just a prophet, just a teacher, then he would have rebuked Peter. And said, I appreciate what you're doing, but I'm no different than you. I'm just a prophet. I'm no different than Daniel, the Old Testament. He didn't refuse worship. He didn't refuse the declaration that he was God. Amen. I can't believe for you. You have to see the evidence and decide for yourself that he is deity. He is God made flesh. He is the Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No way to the Father except through him. He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and he's the Savior of the world. You'll have to make that decision. And we need to not only believe those things, we need to be assured of those things so that you can be sure. And so your children can be sure and your grandchildren can be sure so that when they go to college, no professor can shake them. Come on. I'm getting real with you. There's a great chance that when your child or grandchild goes to college, they'll be targeted and marked as a Christian, and the professor will immediately try to tear down the pillars of their faith. But we're showing you these things so you cannot be moved. No liberal groups can change your mind. We live in a blizzard in this culture of political correctness and information, distraction, all those things. We've got to be tethered to the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. I'll show you this one more time. This is from Angelo Codavilla from Boston University. He said, political correctness is an ideological movement that began in the United States in the early 90s on college campuses because they wanted to affect the next generation. Its proposed goals are to expose and eliminate the intolerance, oppression, and sexism that exist in the nation. Now that sounds good. That sounds like a good plan. But its origin is from communism in the 30s when reality and truth were what the party said it was. The problem is they are, anyone who's not in line with them, they're labeling as a sexist or a bigot or whatever. So they decide. They're deciding. Not the God who invented life and invented human beings. They're deciding what is truth and what is not truth. And if you don't line up with truth, then you are this. They decide what is bigoted behavior, what is hate speech, and then they decide who the bigots are. Now, that's a problem. And you may say, young people, well, I know, but a lot of what they say sounds okay. Well, wait till they come after your free speech, because right now they're coming after mine. But there may be a day where they change the game. Why wouldn't they? If the end game is total control and total power, which is what politics is, it is the jockeying for influence and leadership and power in a culture. Why wouldn't they change the game? So they cannot have that. This country was founded upon free speech. Nobody in this country should be afraid of speaking the truth. Boy, you can hear a pin drop. But I'm telling you the truth. Nobody should be fearful of what we say. That's what free speech is. You have a right to be an idiot in the United States of America. You have that right. I'm not going to agree with you, but I celebrate that you have the right to be an idiot. Sounds like a good cause, but they'll close your business and put societal pressure on you if you don't agree with them. Not only not agree, but don't celebrate what Scripture calls sin. They call it being bigoted. Scripture calls it sin. Romans 1:18 says the wickedness of humanity deliberately smothers the truth and keeps people from acknowledging the truth about God. Romans 1:25 says that they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Romans 1:32 says that they not only do these evil things, they celebrate all those who do them. We need to be workmen who are not ashamed. We don't need to back up, back down. We need to walk in love, though. Come on, somebody. But if you tell me to ignore reality, because Jesus Christ is reality, truth is not, what's the word, objective? Is that what it is? Subjective. Yeah, it's not subjective. Jesus Christ is the truth. So if you tell me to ignore what he says is true, I cannot side with you. And praise be to God, not one elder in this church will back off the truth of who Jesus says he is. We won't do it. And bless you. We're not saying that we're better than somebody else. Did you hear me say that? We're not saying God loves us more than somebody else. Never said that. I'm certainly not saying our sin is more righteous than those heathen people. It ought to be your sin that allows you to connect to the brokenness that it causes and the deception that it brings. Amen? I mean, seriously, you can never become so Christian you can't relate to a sinner. You got to remember from where you came. And I know you're righteous now, but that's righteous in your spirit, man. I know not every thought you have is righteous. Not every action you take is always righteous. So we ought to be able to relate to those who are struggling. So we're not saying any of that. We absolutely believe and we don't back off that God loves every single person in this country. And everyone here is someone for whom Jesus died. And that ought to be the lens you look through while not backing off the truth. Jesus is a perfect balance, right? We beheld his glory, the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Great balance. Great balance. And here's what I love about God. He loves us too much to let us settle down into our lower selves. Aren't you glad? God loves you too much to let you settle down into halfwayness. That's why you're troubled when you sin. Those proddings you feel, that's your Father's love. Because He'll protest every step of your self-harm. And rightfully so. Come on, somebody. This is our Father. He prods you when you try to settle into your lower self. And he'll speak to you this word, this action called repent. Amen? Repent. Pent is where we get penthouse. All he's saying is, would you please go back to higher thinking? Would you go back to your upper self where you get your identity from me and the kingdom of God and not from your lower self? Amen. He'll protest every step of your self-harm and self-destruction. Thank God. Do we not do that for our own children? Even as fallen man, we should be protesting every step of our children's self-harm and self-destructive behavior. And we do it in love. Just like he does. Is it love to tell your child, I don't care what you believe, and I don't care what time you come home. I don't really care if you do come home. Is that good parenting? Why would God tell us then, find your own way. Stumble in the dark. Robert, believe whatever you want to believe. That's not love. Jesus is the master light through which every one of us are looking. He is the master light that allows us to see in a dark world. If they take from him, and they can't even take him from us. But if we allow them to exchange this politically correct Jesus for biblically correct Jesus, we will lose our way. We will lose the master light through which we see. And love doesn't let that happen. And you can call me mean, but love doesn't let that happen. And I'm going to say again, this is not my opinion of who Jesus is. This is who he says he is. And you have to come to terms with it. And I'm telling you, if he is God, like we say he is, then we need to stand up for him. Not defend the truth, but begin reflecting his real true nature to this world. Because they need to see it. Amen? Amen? Go ahead and give God praise for that. They need to see him. They do. So right in line with that, today's culture says we can have Jesus as long as we conform him to their image of him. That he'd never say he's the only way to God, which he did. He'd never offend anyone with truth, which he did. And he'd never claim to be God made flesh, which he did. The question is still out there today and it has eternal significance. Who do you say I am? And this idea that everybody say we're all going to heaven because God's so loving. Yes, God is so loving. God is love and you can't have love without a choice. And he's not going to make people that despise him spend eternity with him. And when it says that God, in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, that God doesn't desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance, does that not prove there are those who perish? It does. Again, it sounds good. God is that loving. He is that amazing. How could he send anyone to hell? He didn't send anyone. People send themselves by choice. These are not politically correct statements on the board here. You know, because political correctness, again, says all religions are the same, which means none of them are. I told you he's not a religious figure. He's God. Matthew Larimore, one of our students, asked me this week, what do you say when people say to you, though, that all religions are the same? I say, yep. And they're all garbage. Religion is all of man's attempts to get to God. Jesus Christ is God come down to you. There was a little boy, it's a true story, around Christmas time, his dad was a missionary. And so he kept a little picture of his dad framed on his desk at school. And it was coming near Christmas time and the teacher asked him, he said, what do you want more than anything in the world for Christmas this year? And the little boy said, I want my dad to step out of that picture frame and be right here. That's what the cry of humanity is. I want the God of the universe to step out of that backdrop, that huge picture frame, and be right here with me, come personal, come intimate, come tender. And Jesus Christ is that God. Jesus Christ is God stepping out of the picture frame of the universe and all of the distance and the uncertainty, and we're just not sure. And he stepped foot right here, and I believe his name is Emmanuel. What's the rest of it? Who's with us? Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus is not a religious figure. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. The one who formed us way back in the Garden of Eden for a spirit to spirit, heart to heart, thought to thought relationship on a daily basis. Amen. I can't find anywhere in Genesis where God said, Adam, would you come see me on Sunday for an hour? So if you think Christianity is going to church, you're blind. Authentic, real Christianity is a day to day, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, thought to thought, dialogue, tender communication, love walk with our Heavenly Father. And let's don't stop with love. Let's also include dominion. That you walk in the power and the authority and the confidence of your Heavenly Father, dealing the devil all over the planet, damaging blows because of who you are and who you belong to. Amen. Woo! Well, I feel the Holy Spirit this morning. I feel the Holy Spirit this morning. He's talking to us. A lady had told Charlie Bernard the other day, well, all religions lead to the same place. And when Charlie and I were talking, I said, yeah, they do. They all lead to hell. You see how odd that is in our culture? Think about that. All religions, I'll go put it on Twitter today. Let's see what happens. All religions, I found out, do lead to the same place. They all lead to hell. Don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid. But you know, at the same time, it's hard. You can't do that on Twitter because people don't know your heart. And they don't need harshness. They need meekness, which is strength without harshness. I want you to be just so confident and so sure that Jesus is God. If they fell on the floor and cried a river or threw rocks at you or threw you out of town, you wouldn't be moved. You just can't change the truth. And that's where we want to get our children and our grandchildren equipped in, so that whether they're at school or they go away to college or maybe on their job place and they're told you can't use Jesus' name here, you know, at the thunder, you can't pray in Jesus' name. You can mention God, which, man, praise God, at least God's mentioned. But Jesus is the most controversial person in the world. The Holy Spirit's most controversial in church. That's why half of them threw him out. Like, we can't control him. We got holy laughter going on. We got joy. Can't control him. But Jesus is the most controversial person in the world. But we want our children and grandchildren so firm-footed in their own relationship that Jesus Christ is God, their own revelation, that nobody can move them off of that. And I think it's probably good for us adults too, amen? Because we're just living in a culture where there's a lot of pressure. That's how political correctness works, is you silence the majority for fear of, you know, offending people or saying the wrong thing. I don't want man's idea of who God is. That's religion. That's why I say they all do lead to the same place. I want God's revelation of himself. Think about that. When God wanted to reveal himself, he revealed himself perfectly and personally in Jesus Christ. That's what scripture teaches. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, look at this one, and I'll get some scripture to you. Understanding the deity of Jesus Christ is fundamental in defending the truth of who he said that he is. Okay, we're not going to panic. We're not going to get angry. We want to take heart in the fact that Jesus never jockeyed for position. Jesus never jockeyed for political power. Why? Because he had all authority already. That's how we need to live. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given. Now, do we still vote? Yes, absolutely. We still got a voice. Yes. I care about what spirit's governing this country. I'll tell you, I care. Absolutely, I care. Okay, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said something highly politically incorrect. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I looked up the word no one. In case there was a caveat there, I missed something. It literally means no one. Listen to verse 7. Listen to this. He said, and he goes on, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Because in verse 5, Thomas had said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. See, it's one. He's one with the Father, and from now on you know him and you've seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll believe. Verse 9. These guys. Hey, they weren't born again yet, okay? Give them some grace. Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Who said that? God said that through him. He and the Father are one. The Father is saying, hey, Philip, I'm right here. Have you been with me this long? You still don't recognize me. He who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Wow. Powerful. John chapter 8, verse 52, then the Jews said to Jesus, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, they'll never see death. Are you greater than Abraham, our father who's dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor's nothing. It's my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he's your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if you say, I don't know him, I'll be a liar just like you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. My goodness. You think Abraham got a little glimpse of a father offering his son? You think he got a revelation? He did. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham? They think he's demon possessed. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He literally said, Yahweh. Yahweh, your Old Testament God. Yahweh, that's me. And they took up stones to throw at him. Why? He just blasphemed. He just said he was God. So they're going to kill him. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through the midst of them. And so he passed by. My goodness. The Roman soldiers collapsed to the ground. John chapter 18, verse 4 through 7. Write that one down. John 18, verse 4 through 7. I love this because they come out to arrest Jesus. And he says to them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They did not say Jesus the Christ, which would be deity. Okay? Boy, I got a lot. Boy, come on. Thank you, Lord. Just help me. who are you looking for? And he said, I am he. Same thing. And they fell over. They fell like dead men at the glory of God. Then they got up. And Jesus said, who are you looking for? True. Read it. He did. I mean, if I'm that soldier, I'm thinking, oh, we got the wrong guy. This is not him. He just said, I am he, and we all fell over under the power of God. Oh, goodness. Isn't that powerful? John chapter 10. Verse 30, who's Jesus say he is? He said, I and the Father are one. John 17, 5, Jesus is praying. Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Amen. Jesus Christ is eternal. Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, but a son is given. Jesus, Son of Man, Christ, Son of God. Amen. See, a child is born. The Son of God couldn't be born. He's eternal. The child is born. The Son is given. through the earth suit of that child, the Son would be given. God would give himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Where was God when all that was going on? In Christ, reconciling the world to himself. A child would be born. See, that's why Mary is not the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus, which is still pretty stout. But she is not the mother of God. God is his father. He is deity. The blood comes from the father. Okay, so the son would be given, but he'd have to have an earth suit. The child was born. The son was put into the child so that he could, as God, put on an earth suit and give his life in our place, cleansing us from all sins. That makes sense. It's so powerful. A child is born, but a son had to be given because the son of God is eternal, and he was with God from the very beginning. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's not very politically correct. We have a choice to make. This is not my opinion. This is who he says he is. Jesus himself said, if you don't believe that I am he, the sent one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of this world, this entire world. No other religious figure gave their life for the world. He gave his life for the world because he made the world. He is God. And if you don't believe that he is, you will die in your sin. And we got to love our young people enough to let them know that. Wait, there's more. Matthew 26. Last one. Matthew 26:63, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, look at this, church. I put you under oath by the living God. Look what Caiaphas does to him here. I put you under oath by the living God. You tell us if you're the Christ and the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. We cannot succumb to a polytheistic culture that there's all these gods and there's all these ways. He is God. We are Christians. Amen? And when we speak the truth, we speak in love. We love everybody. God loves everybody. Did you know every sinner on the planet is welcome at Grace Church? Every single one. I would love for sinners all over town to feel safe that they could come here. Because we will love them, but we will tell them the truth. Because we love them. Does that make sense? And we'll tell them in the same way we understand we can be deceived. We have a common enemy. Sin is deceitful. Everybody understand that. Anyone is welcome at Grace Church. We want the lost and the broken. So Jesus said, it is as you said. Nevertheless, he's just going to add a little taboot on here. I say to you, hereafter you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you've heard his blasphemy out of his own mouth. He turned to the council. What do you think? And they answered, he is deserving of death. He makes himself out to be God. And they spat in his face, and they beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands. Some translations say fists. Verse 68, saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Wouldn't that be a good time to say, listen, guys, there's other ways. There'll be this guy, Muhammad. There'll be Buddha. You can believe on them so you don't have to punch me and spit on me. Jesus is the Christ. Amen. And this country, when we say one nation under God, he is who we're talking about. It's astonishing to me what he is willing to put up with. Because he's going to die for every one of those people that are doing that to him. Will you stand with me? You cannot leave here. Remember when I said earlier, you can't leave here saying, boy, that's good preaching, little preacher. Boy, what a good little sermon today. Sermonette for Christianettes. You know what else you can't leave here saying? Boy, that Jesus, he was a good man. What a prophet Jesus is. You got a decision to make. And I want to say it again. If he is God, if he is God come in the flesh, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world, if he is, he can't just be resident of your life. He's got to be president of your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never received the gift of the Son of God, and you want to know him personally this morning, would you just slip your hand up and say, Brother Steve, I want to be born again. I want to know Christ. Anyone. I want to receive him into my heart. Anyone. Most important decision you can make. Thank you, Lord. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. We don't want that for anyone. Gather church, if you're like me and your heart is rent. Caiaphas rent his clothes. He tore his clothes. But the Lord Jesus has torn my heart. If you're like me and your heart is wide open to him, well, I just want to pray for you. Father, would you empower and embolden us today with grace and truth? That we'd have mercy and compassion for those that are bound by sin, because we know what that's like. But Lord, that we wouldn't back off the truth, because Lord, it's not even our opinion. It's who you said that you are. It's your opinion of you. I don't want man's opinion of God. I want God's opinion of himself. And would you just embolden us and grace us with the truth that everywhere we go, every thought we think, every action we take, Lord, in business, at school, at our family dinner table, our living room, every action we take with music, every action we take with movies, every action, Lord, that we're including you because you are Lord and President, because you are God and our life is no longer our own. Give us that graciousness married to truth, Father, that blessed balance. Boy, just sense at church an anointing, fresh anointing upon you, like sweet rain just falling from the ceiling here this morning. Just let him rest upon you. I really believe, Lord, you've rent our heart today. We're not ripping our clothes, some religious gesture. It's our heart that's been rent. And we give you permission. Holy Spirit, would you executively produce the Lordship of Jesus in and through us? And help us to reach, use us to reach a dying and confused and a divided world. Because man's politics divides, but God's Spirit unites. And we just thank you for all these things. Lord, I also pray one last thing, church. Whatever he's spoken to you today, I need you to ask the Lord and make a decision. Lord, this is how I'm going to walk this out. This is the change I'm going to make. Because I don't want to just hear truth. I want to obey truth. I don't want to just hear it. I want to obey what you asked me to do. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give him praise this morning. Wow. Amen. If you need prayer, stick around.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.